What do you think of when you hear the word heritage?
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi. How are things?
Grand altogether, and how are you?
Ah, sure, grand. Grand never better now.
Say, do you know if your man is still sick?
You mean your man who had the big car and lived in the massive house at the top of the hill?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Oh, no, he's not sick anymore. He's proper dead-like.
Jenny, I heard he was a multimillionaire. I wonder how much he left behind.
Oh, I haven't heard the exact number, but I reckon he left everything behind.
You're very welcome along to family.ie. What do you think of when you hear the word heritage? You may think of the money or property people leave behind when they pass on. Well, that may be part of the definition, but regardless of how much money someone has, when it comes to a heritage, that's actually only a very small part. Here's Jim Whiteman of Heritage Builders.
Each of us receive a heritage that's good or bad. And we'll define heritage as a social, emotional, and spiritual legacy that's passed from parent to child. And what we have to do is we have to take what we received that was good and put aside anything that we might have got that was bad. We come to the marriage with ours, our wife comes with hers, and we must become intentional then in trying to figure out what's the plan. How are we going to raise our children?
And like so many things, failure to plan is often a plan for failure. Or as George Santayana said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Maybe you didn't have the best home life when you were growing up, but as a parent, no doubt you want what's best for your child. If you want them to become strong, independent, healthy individuals, they won't receive that training by accident. Our homes should be safe places for them to learn, because the world certainly is not. Here's Heather Watch.
Of course, they're not in a safe world. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yes.
That's why we bother to do this, because the world is not safe. And the reason we want to instill these things in our children is to give them building blocks. Because if you don't have some boundaries and you don't understand where the edges are and where the borders are, then the world is a very unsafe place.
This is episode one of our four-part series called Heritage Builders. I'm Andrew Chambers, and to begin the discussion, here's Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh, and Ger Shanahan.
Yes, this whole idea of us talking about our heritage, in order to help parents who are raising children and raising a family in these days, to look at things that they can do to make that future and the building of that family and the legacy that they leave behind them all the more valuable, because the legacy that we're interested in is actually very important to us.
I think it is for a lot of people. We go to a lot of trouble during our lives to make sure that we leave something behind us, either consciously or unconsciously. So we work somewhere for years and years and we put in whatever our tuppence halfpenny is there. And we hope that all the work we put in will be remembered. Maybe we buy a house and we pay off the mortgage and we own the house and we hope we're going to leave that to our children or whatever it is. So we do an awful lot of things in our lives that become part of an overall legacy. And I think what we're talking about today is much greater and maybe much more significant than those physical things.
Heritage is a threefold cord. What do you mean by that?
There's these three strands. A spiritual heritage, you know, what has been passed down to us and what we're maybe passing on to the next generation. An emotional heritage of the sort of atmosphere and mood and feeling of a home. And the third one is our whole social heritage. And in Irish families and in an Irish setting, these things really matter. We are, as parents and as architects, if you like, of a legacy, we want to leave something really valuable behind us, and we're building something. We know this and we take a lot of this for granted. But in the 21st century, things are so different. There's so much change and flux.
I think that's something that we've often talked about, the intentional parent. And it's a phrase I love, intentional parenting, because so much parenting happens almost by accident or without thought or without planning. And you can't plan every aspect and every moment of your life. But when you have a child born into your family and you're looking at this young baby, there has to be some kind of an intention as to how you're going to raise that child right from, as they say in America, right from the get-go. It's not enough to just kind of say, ah, sure, it'll be all right, you know, or the old Irish thing of it'll be all right or ah, sure, it'll do, because it won't do. What we've got is a life that is going to form its own expression. And Otis Ledbetter and Kurt Bruner, they talk about children being born as savages. And if you don't actually nurture and do something about intentionally parenting the child, at 20, you still have a savage, which is maybe a little extreme example. But I like it because it just shows that the child comes into the world and what we do with parenting really makes the difference.
And I mean, there's so much we don't know when we start out. Like when you got married to David and when I got married to Margaret, I didn't realize all the background, all the heritage that she had received, and in your case, that David had received from the parents. You knew a little bit about it, but in truth, there was so little that we really knew, but is actually profoundly in play when we get married. You know, what we had coming down to us from the previous generations is still alive in us, even though we didn't really realise it.
Absolutely. And although sometimes we maybe didn't appreciate it. Mm. And not all of it is good. Like some of it mightn't be great. Some of it you look back and you think, well, crumbs, you know. I wish that hadn't been an aspect of my life or whatever. But some of it is good. And I think the real skill really is in teasing out what the good bits were, building on those and adding your own good bits. Because even if you've had very little of what you might call a rich legacy or a good history or a heritage passed down to you, it doesn't mean that you can't pass on something really good to the next generation.
That's exactly what this whole set of programs is about, Heather, is really to help us to choose the good, you know, over what might be the bad. And as we get into a later program, we'll talk about, well, how do you overcome a negative heritage? Because any of us may well have a pretty difficult, you know, strand, at least, if not a complete range of things in our world that, you know, are not great. And we want to get over those and we can put them behind us. And we'll talk about how can we use some tools to, you know, do that. And so we're not left with repeating the patterns of the past.
Even if we do, and we do a really good job, and we intentionally pass on all kinds of wonderful things, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's a happy ever after result. Our children won't necessarily go that way or pick it up, but that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility as parents is to pass it on. Of course we want our kids to take on the good bits and develop those. But even if they don't, that isn't a reason for not doing it. I mean, Dr. Spock brought in the whole thing about freedom and allowing children to make their own choices and all this kind of stuff. And even Dr. Spock himself, I think, would say that wasn't completely good. So we must give our children something. And in choosing the way we intentionally parent, we stand a chance of passing on the good bits.
That's right. There's no magic formula when it comes to raising families. This is family.ie, and we're just beginning our new series called Heritage Builders. If you'd like to weigh in on the discussion at some point, you might want to take down our contact details. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886. That's 086-251-6886. Or email us anytime at radio@family.ie. That's radio@family.ie. We do need to take a quick break right now, but stay tuned for much more on today's edition of family.ie. Welcome once again to family.ie. If you've just tuned in, we're only getting started in our new four-part series called Heritage Builders. To explain the concept a bit more, here's Mervyn Nutley.
We use the word heritage, and I suppose it's a little bit of an old-fashioned word these days. But really what we're talking about is how do we pass on the things that we consider important as parents to our children? It won't happen unless you are intentional about it. Children will pick up a certain amount from you, but very often some of the stuff that you want them to pick up, they won't pick up unless you think about it, unless you're intentional about it. And we've got to remember that our children now have never been under more external influences than ever before. We've got the web out there, we've got TV, we've got, you know, radio, we've got music, we've got computer games. So children are now being influenced by way, way more than, say, we were when we were young children. So as parents, we've got to sort of say, okay, what are the things that we want to pass on to our children that we value, that we think are important? And whatever those are, Heritage Builders gives you a framework.
To explain how that framework fits together, back to the discussion now with Stephen, Heather and Ger on Heritage Builders.
All right then. So what you're saying is one generation can impact another.
Yeah, for certain, Jeremy, there's this story told, we are all responsible for our own choices, but we are heavily influenced by our family heritage. the true stories of two different families dramatically illustrate the impact for good or bad of a family heritage. The Edwards family, the family that produced Jonathan Edwards, a very famous college professor and theologian. Among his descendants, or descendants from his family into the late 20th century, were 14 college presidents, more than 100 college professors, more than 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 60 physicians, more than 100 clergymen, missionaries and theology professors, 60 authors. Compared to the Duke's family, since the 18th century, this family has produced 300 professional paupers, 60 thieves, 130 convicted criminals, 55 were victims of sexual obsessions, only 25 ever learned a trade, and 10 of those learned it in prison, 7 were murderers. Is there really any question that prior generations can have a direct influence over our own life patterns? Mindsets, ideas, a legacy, as we said before, Heather, of a social cord, a spiritual cord, you know, an emotional cord, all of which are in play in us. What we want to help people that listen to this program to do is to say, well, I'm going to pick the good and develop something that's great because it's worth it.
That's exactly right. I think you've hit the nail on the head. It's choosing from your own legacy and your own heritage what you can pass on and build on. A spiritual legacy, or heritage legacy, is the process whereby parents model and reinforce the unseen realities of the spiritual life. So model and reinforce the unseen realities of the spiritual life. That's not about going to church 5 times a week. They're not bad things, but it's not about those things. It's about the unseen realities of the spiritual life. It's about what really motivates you and where you're coming from spiritually in your family.
Children observe and they learn by observation much more though than by listening.
Well, they do. I mean, it's a case of your actions speak so loud I can't hear what you're saying. So really, there's no point in battering spiritual truths into people if they're not seeing you living them out in your life. And of course, I would question whether those truths are actually meaningful to somebody whose behaviour doesn't demonstrate them. And I question myself on that as well. So that's why I say it's the unseen realities. It's where we're coming from and what is it that makes us live the way we live.
The whole issue of a spiritual heritage, like most people in this country, let's say who were born in the 70s or earlier, had a legacy, if you like, of church attendance and participation in church activities, you know, getting baptized, confirmed. All of those were part of their normal heritage, and they expected that, and they sort of assumed that that's still the case. But in fact, you know, church attendance has fallen away to a very large extent, and children are being raised now in homes where there's no spiritual input really at all, maybe left to school perhaps. So therefore, their spiritual heritage may be very weak, even though in the parent it might be stronger than we realize. And parents listening to the program may want to revisit this issue for themselves and think to themselves, well, what sort of a legacy am I actually really leaving behind for my child? Because I don't want my child to grow up without any sense of God being present in my world or having any part to play or anything to say about anything that goes on in my world. Really, you know, my values, the things that we believe in, even our Irish Constitution vows an obligation to Jesus Christ.
It
you know, we're
does.
Clearly a Christian country, but like people growing up from, you know, born from the 90s on might wonder, what is this all about?
I think that's a very interesting observation. A legacy means something resulting from or left behind by an action or a person. And apart from the physical legacies that we leave, a legacy is more what we do than what we say. And a spiritual legacy is a process. It's not an event. It's not a, I made sure you were baptized. That's your spiritual legacy. That's good. But that's not what the legacy is. Or, you know, I made sure you learned the Ten Commandments. It's not about that event or that time, though events are significant. It's a process of building, and we have to model and reinforce it. So people who maybe feel, gosh, you know, I haven't done anything like this for my children, you can start now. It doesn't matter that they're 10. That's okay. You can start now. Even if they're 20, you can start now. Because kids, if there's relationship at all, there is a chance to continue to model for your child, whatever age they are, some kind of spiritual reality. And you know, people change. It's all right to change. It's all right to say, well, when you were a little girl or a little boy, I didn't really understand these things. But you know, I've just realized this. And start now to share that. You can start to build a spiritual heritage today.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that the negative spiritual heritage would be to say, well, look, I'll let them decide when they get older. I mean, that's sort of like abdicating your responsibility as a parent. It's not good advice because
Well, it's not, because parenting and teaching your children, and when we think of teaching children, we think of little ones, but children are always our children. Even when they're our adult children, they're still our children. And teaching our children, it's best if it's based on reality and truth. So for me as a Christian, basing my life on reality and truth means basing it on God and on what he says in the Bible. So when they're older, yes, they can make up their own mind, but at least they'll know what they're making up their mind about.
Yes.
And they'll understand what my foundation was.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just some kind of wishy-washy, could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
At least they'll be able to say, well, Mom was really passionate about that.
Mm-hmm. There are tremendous times when you can communicate in a very simple, not complicated, not a religious way to your children what you believe and why you believe what you believe and why that's important. And, you know, you and I know from experience, Heather, of raising children to adults, that, you know, a lot of this is done very simply in the routine of the week or the month or so on. And that those moments that we can seize and we can talk and we can have conversations where we explain what we believe. And as you just said, our children can make up their own minds because, you know, they'll do that anyway. But we're not forcing something on them. We're just leaving them a legacy of something worthwhile rather than leaving them with nothing.
Absolutely. And they know what the starting point is.
Exactly.
And where to go back to.
We'll think more about our heritage in just a moment. Brace yourself, though. The second chord in that rope mightn't be the one you're very comfortable with. This is family.ie. We'll be back to wrap up the first in our four-part series of the programmes called Heritage Builders. Our discussions are based largely on the curriculum of the same name. Time for another quick break now, but you can find more information about the materials and other resources to help your family thrive all on our website, family.ie. That's family.ie. Welcome to the final segment of today's family.ie. This is the first episode in our series called Heritage Builders. As we've discussed, a real heritage is not simply an inheritance of money or property we leave behind. It's about the spiritual, emotional, and social footprints we leave for our family to follow. Before the break, we talked about the first in that treble braided chord, and now on to what may be another uncomfortable topic. Seriously, here once again is Jer, Stephen and Heather to discuss the emotional heritage. Heather, what does that mean exactly?
An emotional heritage is really about nurturing, bringing your children up in an environment of safety and love and security, where they feel emotionally safe. And when they're brought up like that, that opens doors for all kinds of conversation. And you know, in Ireland, we're quite good at bottling up those emotions and pretending it's not happening. And that's actually very damaging.
I mean, in terms of creating a positive emotional legacy, we as parents, and we, you know, might be people who are listening to the program who are not parents at all. They're just in a relationship. They're married and have not had children. But in our relationships with each other, we've got to allow and nurture the idea that we're going to leave a positive emotional legacy behind us. So the people who are in our world come into that world feeling safe, feeling nurtured, feeling cared for.
That is very important. And one of the things that Otis Ledbetter and Kurt Brunner say in their book is that strong emotional heritage is like wrapping a child in an environment of support. And in the process, the capacity for dealing with emotional trauma can flourish. So what you're doing is you're not wrapping up your child so that nothing will hurt them, but you're giving them enough covering so that when something does come and hurt them, they can work their way through it. And things will come and hurt them. There is no doubt about that. Like they do us. And we need to do this for ourselves. You know, if our parents haven't built into us a strong emotional heritage, we can begin to create that. It's never too late. I mean, that's always my message. We can always grow. We're living, live human beings.
What about the social heritage then, Heather?
Of course, life is all about relationships, isn't it? I mean, everything we do is about relationship with somebody, the shopkeeper, the bus driver, whatever it is. And being able to form relationships is critically important.
In our culture, Heather, we're very good on this particular strand in terms of having a worthwhile legacy. That'll be my view, that socially we can pass down from generation to generation something really valuable, if it's positive, which can be really useful. And we're strong in this area, but we need to build on that. Like, as we talk about some of the things that will come in the next program and the one that follows it, we'll be talking about specific tools that will help us to build that and make that stronger. And, you know, some of the building blocks, if you like, for the social legacy is respect. You know, having respect for parents and for people in authority and for one another, you know, even for your peers or your siblings, and being responsible and teaching our children to be responsible and to carry responsibility well. And as we've just been talking about the whole issue of love, you know, being loved and a positive emotional legacy, you know, love and acceptance are very important. And we come back to those in the next program. And agreeing with our kids what are good and safe boundaries so that they know that they're in a safe world, what they can do and what they can't do. And what they can't do is not about depriving them of things, but more about keeping them safe.
So building for the future is what this is all about then.
Of course, they're not in a safe world. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yes.
That's why we bother to do this.
Yes.
Because the world is not safe. The world is a dangerous place. There are predators out there. There are people out there who want to harm us. There are things that will harm us. There are substances that will harm us. The world is a dangerous place. And the reason we want to instill these things in our children is to give them building blocks, to learn to respect not only other people but themselves, to carry responsibility, to live as a social being and be able to use responsibility wisely, and to love and accept both themselves and other people. And the boundaries, I mean, that's so important, because if you don't have some boundaries and you don't understand where the edges are and where the borders are, then the world is a very unsafe place.
If there are not those good social strands in play, people don't know where they stand. They get into a mess, they get confused, they find themselves doing things they probably wouldn't choose to do if they realised the consequences of their actions. Part of the story that we'll be telling in the following programmes, Heather, will really be about how do we help our children and help one another to maintain good, safe boundaries, to behave socially responsible, you know, to live with an emotional integrity, if you like, about us. And that insofar as faith and a spiritual dimension forms a part of our ethos, that we are intentional, we're relentless really about how we pass that on. This won't happen by accident, and as we carry on into the following programs on in this series, we'll see more about specific things that we as parents or we as families can do, and we can do together in order to build up a very strong and powerful interconnecting network of these three strands of the social, the emotional and the spiritual heritage that is good that we've received from the previous generations, that are worth keeping and building on, and that also help us to build intentionally for something even greater in the future for those that follow on after us.
That's the whole point. Keeping the good, throwing out the bad stuff and building on it to produce more. And the protective side rail seems like a lovely way of doing it, by building those three strong cords so that they don't have to be fearful, because it is tough out there. But, you know, they can grow up to be strong adults that can make this journey.
That is indeed a goal. But like we've said, it won't happen by accident. You've been listening to family.ie, and that's only the first of our four-part series. As we've mentioned, this series is based on the research of heritage builders. When you head over to family.ie, you can find out more about the book, Your Heritage, How to Be Intentional About the Legacy You Leave, by Otis Ledbetter and Kurt Bruner. You'll also find podcasts of this programme series and other topics we've covered in recent months on our website, family.ie. Just click on the picture of the radio for audio archives of our series, including Secure Daughters, Confident Sons.
After puberty, your son's brain will have 2 times more space dedicated to sexual drive than your daughter's brain.
Did you hear that?
That explains a lot.
That's an incredible fact.
Meet Troy and Sarah Groves.
There are more slaves today than there have been in the whole history of the world. Right now we have conservative estimates are 27 million people enslaved. And we're talking about everything from young girls and women who are being trafficked for the sex tourism industry, or we're looking at entire families, men, women, children, grandparents, who are enslaved in brick kilns or in rice mills. People basically by violence who are being forced to work against their will.
And more information about how to drug-proof your kids.
Positive kids are much less likely to get drawn into the negative and risky behavior of drug and alcohol use, which is what this program is about. And if we're good at helping parents to parent their own children better in terms of this program, then we have done our job, because we want to equip parents to do a great job of parenting.
While you're there, you'll also find many other resources to help your whole family thrive. Again, that's www.family.ie. So on behalf of Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan, I'm Andrew Chambers. We hope you'll join us next time right here for part 2 of our 4-part series entitled Heritage Builders. Until then, slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to family.ie.